What's up, guys? Welcome to another Fantasy Football Geeks podcast. I am your co-host, Elijah.
I'm your co-host, Seth.
I'm your co-host, Hunter.
And I'm your co-host, Tyler.
Yeah.
Favorite. That's a little bit of a stretch.
The fourth best co-host. Top five, though.
That's right.
So today we are going to be talking about players that fit into certain groups. Players like, for example, running backs that are all getting drafted around the same place, wide receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends. So we've clumped together some people whose ADP is around the same spot. And what we're going to be doing is just sharing our own opinions on who we think should be drafted out of that group and why, and then also who we think should be the lowest out of that group and why. And this podcast might be a little bit shorter than some of the rest of them. We don't really know, so we're just kind of winging it.
Yeah, we're just we'll see how it goes. See if it's something you guys like, and if you want more of this content, we'll be happy to bring more out, because obviously a lot of people struggle with drafting. Like, there's groups of people that you could draft, but they struggle with picking, all right, who should I draft? And then the timer gets to you and the nerves start going. It's like, oh crap, I got to pick one of these guys. And so hopefully we can help ease that burden a little bit by giving you a little bit of our opinions on who you probably should pick if you have options here. So should help quite a bit when it comes around to draft time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You better like it. I got 4 pages of notes.
Ooh. Yeah. Me too. That's me flipping pages.
I totally didn't come unprepared. What are you guys talking about?
So we'll just jump right into it. Our first group, running backs that are getting drafted around the same spot, which is kind of turn in the first round. We have Austin Eckler, Joe Mixon, and Aaron Jones. So, Hunter, out of those 3 running backs, who do you like and why? And then who do you think should be drafted the lowest out of them?
Well, in my rankings this year, I have Joe Mixon ranked the highest. I think maybe he's a little bit riskier than Eckler. Eckler, with Justin Herbert, was on pace for like 130 targets, which is insane at the running back position. Not saying that like that's what it's to this year, but if he gets to 100 targets this year, like, he's going to catch 90 to 85 passes because they're easy dump down targets, and he's a great receiving back. So I'd say he's safer. And Joe Mixon is, even though this year, like, finally it's all cleared out, so it's Joe Mixon's backfield, it's still like he's been so inconsistent. And it's like, you'll have a really good game and they'll give him the ball a ton, and then they're getting killed. And then it's like, oh crap, we got to pass the ball a ton. So it's just like, you don't really, if they get in a bad game script, he could get like scripted out of the game, and then you're going to be mad that that's who you have that week. But I think end of year, they probably finish like close, because Joe Mixon is going to have those huge games.
And he's definitely proven that he can be a top.
I'm not saying he's a great talent. I'm just saying that like, he's not the most consistent guy because of that team.
Yeah.
So I'm not drafting him for consistency. You're drafting him for upside. Yeah. It's, I think, kind of dangerous to draft for upside
in the first round. Like, I think I'm in that area. I'm probably going Eckler, just because, especially if you're standard or half PPR, I'd probably then switch to Mixon because he is going to get more rushing work. But in the full PPR, which like most people play in now, I'm probably leaning towards Eckler because he is going to get, I mean, Joe Mixon, good year, 70 catches, which is not like, it was just fine. That's an awesome year. But if he doesn't get 70 and he gets 60 and Eckler gets 90, that's 30 more points right there.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to lean towards Eckler out of those 3.
So Aaron Jones, that would definitely be at the bottom of your
list. Well, I like Aaron Jones, and I think he can still have a good year without Aaron Rodgers. But like, after hearing the news that Aaron Rodgers turned down his contract, and like the contract would have made him like one of the highest paid player in the NFL, I think they still have to run the ball.
Yeah.
But that might mean more AJ Dillon, like ground and pound.
Right.
And then like, okay, now we'll try and hit a big play with Aaron Jones. So I think he loses some of that work. So he's definitely, without Aaron Rodgers, like the bottom of those guys.
So Hunter, if let's say Hail Mary, he comes back instead of, you know, Aaron Jones, whatever, what's his name? The quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, there it is. I'm trying to think. Let's say
Rodgers too. So annoying having 2 Aarons on the same team.
Yeah, I know. It's Aaron. That's all I'm going to call him. But so Hail Mary pass. So if he comes, he somehow is playing, would you rank Aaron the highest?
I mean, he's been the most proven to like finish. I mean, he's been like a top five guy in years past. So I would probably bump him up. And I think that whole offense, like Tonyan, Adams, would all raise like crazy in my rankings. So I'd probably say that's who I would go above. But I really think Aaron Rodgers is going to be doing Jeopardy next year. So
yeah.
Jeopardy. Well, Tyler, what about you? What do you think out of that group?
Well, I mean, I actually did put Aaron Jones higher when we did our podcast last week. But after hearing that too, I'm going to have to say, because I ranked them. I said Eckler number one out of these three, and Eckler number one, Mixon number two, and Aaron number three. So same kind of thing, Aaron, potentially not having Aaron Rodgers. Still thinks like it. I mean, he does get decent yards still, even without him.
Yeah.
And he's a playmaker. But I'm going to have to say Eckler. I'd have to change my rankings now, but I was looking at this, and so I was looking at the 2020 season, and he had 65 targets, and he caught 54 of them, and then he had 500, and these aren't crazy numbers, but he had 530 yards, and he had 116 times that he carried the ball. He didn't have a lot of touchdowns, but from the amount of targets I saw, he was like not like top tier receiving. But he was like in the middle ground. He's still getting some rushing yards. So I'd still have to go with Eckler on that. And like we talked about last week, I don't even know who the second stringer is.
Yeah.
So, and what did you say? He's like the pound for pound king.
There's a reason his teammates call him. He's one of the strongest by weight on his team. And his teammates call him, it wasn't pound for pound. It was
something like that.
Yeah. But he's, if you ever see any of this guy's workout videos, Austin Eckler is ridiculous. And obviously a lot of people have skill, but yeah, muscle definitely helps in the NFL.
Yeah. So he's basically like me. So that's why I'm going to pick him. But then, yeah, it's surprisingly I have Mixon ahead. I just wish Aaron is coming back. Yeah, I'm starting to really doubt it too. But everybody know how much I hate Mixon. And I have some, like, pros and cons. One for Mixon, he's on a terrible team. But a pro, he gets the ball. He's, like, the whole workhorse on that team, basically. Yeah. But the thing I don't like about Mixon is I compared his 2019 to 2020 season. And he is – I know they're getting probably a potentially better line. They have a different receiver that we'll talk about. But he is, like, on a downward path. Like his 2019, he had 278 times that he rushed, and he got like a 1,137 yards. But then you look at what he did for 2020, instead of 278 times that he rushed, he did 119, and his yardage went almost completely in half, less than half, 428 yards. And he had less touchdowns by a couple. So he's on a downward path, but I mean, I did see one of the seasons a couple years ago, like 2018 or 17, that he actually did a little bit better. So that's what scares me, his downward progression from what I'm seeing. But who knows? 2020 was the weirdest season ever.
Yeah, and I mean, how many games did he miss last year?
He only played in six games last year.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, still, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, that's one of the concerns with Joe Mixon, especially having Joe Burrow as the quarterback now, is like how much more do they pass the ball versus like Mixon had one big game last year that most of his points came from. It was like a 46 point PPR game. And so like outside of that, I mean, he was getting like 6 to 15 points on a week by week basis. So he was trending down a little bit last year. Seven of their offensive linemen were out last. I mean, there's always factors that can go and play.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, like what you're saying is, and Hunter said it too, do you take that consistency where like, okay, the Bengals might have a better line, but how much better is it than being the worst line in the NFL, you know? And so like, you look at that, and so sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to.
No, that was good. I also noticed his average of rushing. It's a 3.6 2020, yeah. And it was a 4.1.
Yeah.
So,
and 4.1 even is just like average. It's not even like considered great.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd pick Eckler, Mixon second, and then Aaron Jones. I mean, if Rodgers comes back, I'm kind of like Hunter. I'm basically switching it up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I think we're all probably going to have Austin Eckler at the top, except for Dum Dum over here. Elijah loves Joe Mixon. But as far as Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon, I've kind of been flip-flopping them a little bit more. I used to have Joe Mixon above Aaron Jones, in my opinion, but I don't have a ton of confidence in the Bengals' run game. They're going to be down a lot of games, I think, this year, so they're going to be having to pass a lot to keep up. And while Joe Mixon is involved in the pass game, they're going to be more chunk pass plays, and Joe Mixon isn't kind of the deep – he isn't a deep threat, and so he's not a deep threat wide receiver. And also picking up Ja'Marr Chase, they probably should have drafted some linemen there, but they picked up Ja'Marr Chase for a reason, to use him and utilize him in the offense more. So I think they're going to go even more towards a pass-heavy offense. Joe Mixon is their only real weapon on the ground, but with having a less than ideal line to run behind and also them being down games, it's going to be rough for him to produce top-tier numbers. I think Aaron Jones is a lot safer of a pick, even without Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Jones is still going to have value. He's still the main rushing weapon on that team. And they do have Devonta Adams and Robert Tonyan to make sure that the boxes aren't always stacked. That's not a ton of passing weapons, but I think it's enough to take the pressure off of Aaron Jones a little bit. And new quarterbacks like to – they're more prone to have those dump-off passes to the running backs. If Aaron Rodgers is gone, Aaron Jones' receptions will bump up a little bit this year. Higher ceiling. Don't get me wrong. He probably has the highest ceiling out of all of them. I mean, Austin Eckler and Joe Mixon are pretty close there. But I think Austin Eckler has the highest floor, then Aaron Jones, then Joe Mixon. So if it was me, I'd probably draft Aaron Jones. Like I said, I've kind of been flip-flopping a little bit. But I think Aaron Jones is a little bit safer than Joe Mixon in this context. And so it obviously depends on what other running backs and wide receivers you want to get on your team. If you're planning on drafting another solid running back, someone who can carry your team a little bit more, I think you can go for the risk, go for Joe Mixon. But if you want that set it and forget it, just solid running back, I take Aaron Jones over Joe Mixon.
Hunter just made a face. What was that face about, Hunter?
Oh, I was just reading some stuff on Austin Eckler, and I know they've like switched all their coaches and got rid of Anthony Lynn and stuff, but I just kind of forgot. I guess I didn't realize that their OC was the OC in for the Saints.
Oh, really?
So he's the guy who like brought in Kamara, did like all the stuff with him, and Kamara last year like had the second most outside snaps for a running back and the fourth most slot back. So if Austin Eckler starts lining up in the slot, because after Keenan Allen, I mean, there's still Mike Williams on the team, but he's a deep outside.
Yeah.
So if Austin Eckler is getting motioned out into the slot and catching those passes, I mean, he really could get 100 this year and be – after reading this stuff I was just reading, he might bump up more in my rankings. I already have him above – Saquon and Zeke. I mean, he's my RB6.
Yeah. Well, when we did the individual first round draft mock draft, I had Austin Eckler at 11th, and I could honestly even rationalize taking him above some of the wide receivers that I had there. He could very well be a top five running back this year. Don't draft him as a top five running back. Draft him towards the end of the first round so you can get that value. But if you're 7th or 8th pick and you don't know who you really want, like Nick Chubb might not get as much value, and Austin Eckler's not the worst choice in the world.
So I'm gonna go here between Eckler, Mixon, and Jones. Do you guys know who I am at the top of the list?
I'm guessing Joe Mixon.
I would also
Joe Mixon.
Well, you guys were right. It's Joe Mixon. I love Joe Mixon. I think he's one of the most talented running backs in the NFL. And like people like the argument to that is, well, talent doesn't necessarily mean production. Yeah, obviously you're right. Christian McCaffrey is one of the most talented running backs in the NFL. He has the worst line in the NFL, and Christian McCaffrey still produces. Saquon Barkley has one of the worst lines in the NFL, or has had. They've been doing some stuff with it, but his first couple of years in the league, he's had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL, and he's still an amazing running back because he's talented. I think this is a guy that, I mean, like, last year, his passes were already trending up from the 2 years prior. Like, they want to get him more involved in the passing game. And I don't think, like, Jamar Chase coming in is going to be a threat towards Joe Mixon in the passing game. Like, Giovanni Bernard leaving is a lot better indicator for how much passing work he's going to get rather than Jamar Chase coming in. That's going to more affect Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins a little bit. Like, they want to throw to the running back. They're going to throw to the running back. Having another receiver isn't going to change that. So you look at, like, workhorse running backs in the NFL, people that command 80% plus of the offensive snaps, like, Joe Mixon fits that bill. I mean, even Austin Eckler, yeah, he's going to be on the field a lot, but he's going to be split out wide a lot. And, yeah, in a PPR league, that's fine. But I'm also going to want a guy that does have that steady floor of 275-plus rushes. And, like, Joe Mixon can easily reach 50 receptions this year, I believe.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at somebody that is, like, pushing 325, maybe 350 total touches on the season. Like, Eckler's not going to get that. Jones could get that, but, like, if Aaron Rodgers is gone, then how much, like, I'm taking Mixon over Aaron Jones if Rodgers is gone, because we don't know how he's going to produce, because Jordan Love could just, like, throw the ball out of bounds 100 times a game. Like, yeah. We haven't seen, and maybe Jordan Love shows up in preseason and just first-round draft pick, so who knows? He could just show up and show up. Jones, and I could bump him up, but yeah, I've got Mixon first overall. I really like Eckler and PPR. I have no problem if people want to take him first out of this list of three. And Aaron Jones, like, it all just depends on the quarterback situation. I don't think it's going to be hugely impactful to him if Aaron Rodgers leaves. Like, he's still going to have a good year, but you have to bump him down if the MVP isn't playing on your team. Yeah. So I go Mixon, Eckler, Jones, but I definitely have no problem with whoever you want to take here. I would fade Jones a little bit for now, but, I mean, if you like him and you want to take a chance on somebody else like Clyde Edwards-Helaire later on in the draft, yeah, go Aaron Jones. He's going to be steady. He's going to be solid. Anything else on those three running backs, or we want to jump to the next group?
No, let's dive in.
You go, Seth.
No, I was just going to say, let's dive into the next group. If you have something to say about him, go for it.
Oh, just real quick. I guess he made a good point about his like, receiving. Like, I'm seeing his yards right now is 138. You said he did six games, right?
Yeah.
And in 2019, he gets, what, at least 12 games, 12 to 14 or so?
Yeah, I'd say probably a lock for 14 games. Most running backs miss 2.3 games per year on average.
So,
right, 17 game season, which is being changed to this year, he'll probably miss three of those for minor injuries.
No. So, I mean, that's a good point about Mixon.
But obviously, like I said, Eckler is he's going to be a top receiver. Like, you can draft him as a number one receiver.
Yeah. He's going to get a lot of receptions. I mean, definitely above Mike Williams as far as receptions goes, in my opinion. I mean, it's impossible to tell, but he's going to be the second targeted person on that offense with one of the best rookie quarterbacks we've ever seen. So
we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to do this at the beginning of the podcast, and
jumped right through it.
We all talked about doing it. But,
well, it's a good thing to talk about right now because he's another running back that could have been kind of in this range too, but obviously not anymore.
The Rams, I don't know, does anybody like the Rams? No.
Rams, baby!
Yeah, I think it's just like consensus. Everybody hates the Rams.
Don't tell Grobe. Grobe.
Justin Grobe, who was featured on our last podcast, he's also a
Rams fan.
Rams fan.
Which I think they're going to be.
Which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
For me, at least. I think a lot of the fantasy football community feels the same way. But Cam Akers this morning tore his Achilles doing some training, preseason workouts. Tore his Achilles. So let's just dive into that. What do you guys – what's your, like, initial reaction to Cam Akers' injury? Hunter, you go first.
Don't draft Henderson too high.
Don't draft Cam Akers.
Yeah. That's what Okay, that's technically good advice.
Yeah, my like initial reaction was Henderson's going to get drafted. Not only he's going to get moved up in ADP because now he's the lead guy, but people are going to overreact. Oh, and yeah. Think, oh, there's no one else on.
They're going to draft him where they draft it. Can't.
Yeah, they're going to try and draft him and like in that range of like the back of the first round, early second. I just think we got to remember he's not Cam Akers. Yeah. Like he was, Cam Akers was getting work over him. So they obviously view Cam Akers over Henderson. This staff drafted Henderson, didn't think he was doing enough. So they drafted Cam Akers. So don't, even though Henderson is a fine running back in that third round, late second round. Okay. Now you can start to look towards Henderson because he's still going to get that work, but you don't want to overreact because they're going to bring in someone, yeah. Whether it's an old veteran running back who only gets touches the whole season, or it's a young, whatever, someone who gets cut off of a roster, like Kerryon Johnson or someone like that, who like finds their way off of a roster in free agent, but they're going to bring in someone. So Henderson's not going from 200 touches to 400 touches this year. He's still going to get, maybe he gets bumped up to like 250, 275. He's not a bell cow back. He's dealt with injuries. So just don't overreact to him like now being the lead guy.
Right.
Especially if you're drafting like now.
Yeah.
Like don't overreact.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because, or like right now, I would probably stay away. Like, I wouldn't draft him.
Yeah.
Because right I don't now. Know who they're going to bring in. If they bring in, like I've seen reports of like them like talking about, or like it's being mentioned, like maybe Melvin Gordon. If they bring in Melvin Gordon and you draft him in the second round, you're screwed because Melvin Gordon's probably the lead guy.
Well, even if they bring in somebody like Adrian Peterson's going to have 150 plus carries. Yeah. And that's like Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. Melvin Gordon. I mean, like, so then what's the upside for Henderson? The exact same as last year.
Yeah, yeah. So just don't – my initial reaction is just don't overreact.
Let the dust settle, see where his ADP goes, and then kind of work from there. But maybe let somebody take the risk.
Overreact. Yeah.
Tyler, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, first of all, so sorry for Cam. But I actually just thinking of the whole team standpoint, because they got – they got the Stafford, right?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think – I really think that it's not going to hurt the team that much, because I don't think Stafford's going to – I think he's going to throw the ball more. So that stinks for their rushing. I really do think that's terrible. I mean, my initial reaction in a, like a joking way was, let's get freaking Todd Gurley back on the field. Yeah. Let's ice those knees. Let's take a bunch of Advil and let's put him back in there. I mean, I want Todd Gurley back, but I don't think it's going to hurt the team as a whole. I think they're going to actually – pretty much throw it more. I just can't see Stafford handing it off too much.
Yeah, so I mean, you bring up a good point. This afternoon, I looked up Vegas odds for the Los Angeles Rams. It has not changed at all after the Cam Akers injury. Maybe it does later on down the line, but like the odds for the Rams to win the Super Bowl are based on Matthew Stafford. They are not based on Cam Akers.
Yeah.
And it's going to suck for the receiving group. But I mean, because he could have took that pressure off of him. But I still think Stafford's just gonna start slinging it like he always does.
Yeah, and he's still young enough to be able to do that. If Tom Brady can do it at 800 years old, Matthew Stafford can do it at 34 or however. Yeah. Seth, what's your reaction?
Well, I was already high on the Rams wide receiver and the tight end Tyler Higbee, and like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods already were good picks in my opinion. But I think their value is going to go up a little bit after this. And obviously, like Hunter said, kind of wait to see if the Rams are going to add anyone else. Don't get overexcited. But I think the value on this team is going to take a little bit of an uptick. I'm still excited to see what the Rams are going to offer. Still excited to see Matthew Stafford at the helm behind this phenomenal offense. Because don't get me wrong, it's still a phenomenal offense. Yeah, just – not much more I can say. Tyler kind of took everything I was going to talk about. So, Elijah?
Yeah, I actually don't think it really affects anybody on that team at all. Like, maybe if anyone, it would be Matthew Stafford getting, like, three or four more pass plays a game. But, again, yeah, they're probably going to bring in a veteran presence. Daryl Henderson is a fine running back. And, like, we've seen in recent history with injuries. We've seen the good and the bad of a star running back getting hurt. So, like, Arian Foster just tore up the league. He got hurt. Jay Ajayi steps in, has back-to-back 200-yard games. Like, unheard of, right? But then we've seen the flip side of that where Saquon Barkley got hurt last year. Devontae Freeman came in and, like, just posted duds the whole entire season. And so where is Daryl Henderson more likely to fall if he does have that lead back role? I'm assuming that it's going to be more towards that Devontae Freeman where, yeah, he's still going to do okay, but, like, what does Daryl Henderson have that really sets him apart? Like, there's a reason he's a backup behind Cam Akers. He would be a backup on any other team. Good running back. He's a solid running back, but he's a change of pace back. He's not that guy to be able to carry it 300 times in a season. Maybe he is. I don't know. Reports are coming out that the Rams haven't chased any other running back so far. Like, they're not looking to add anybody to their running back room. They have second-year player. I can't remember his name. It's like Xavier Jones or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
He's like the top trending player in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Xavier Jones.
Yeah, Xavier Jones. And the Rams like him. They saying that they want to mix him into the backfield. And that was coming out before Cam Akers had gotten hurt. So, like, even there, what could have been Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson is probably now going to be Daryl Henderson, Xavier Jones, and maybe some really old Frank Gore type player. I don't know. But, like, I'm not overreacting. I'm not overdrafting any of the players on the Rams offense because of this. And, like, if you're drafting right now or in the next week or so before – the next couple of days, I should say, because I think Daryl Henderson, his stock is going to rise quite a bit. Like, he's going in the 12th round right now. If you can get him in the 9th or 10th round, I don't think that's bad, but I wouldn't go above that.
I think you could, like, once the dust settles, I think you could make an argument for 5th or 6th round, like, maybe right around Javonte Williams, maybe that kind of range. It's – like Hunter said, it's difficult to tell right now, but I mean, towards the beginning of last year, they did kind of have more of a hot hand approach, like Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers. Yeah, they were kind of back and forth between touches. So obviously, they weren't really set on Cam Akers till the end of last year. So we could see Daryl Henderson going out and doing something like Mike Davis did last year. Davis probably won a couple championships last year because he was a nobody that you got in the very last round, and then he ended up being a top 15 running. So Daryl Henderson could potentially do that. But
again, at the same time, Daryl Henderson is like, what is he, like 200 pounds or something like that? Exactly. And Mike Davis is a big – that's exactly what he is. 5'8". But Mike Davis is a bigger guy.
He is.
Is Jay Ajayi. And so
Rams do have a pretty phenomenal offensive line and pass-catching core. Pressure off needing to be a bigger, more physical running back
for sure. But so we're gonna jump back in to the groupings. Sorry, Cam Akers. I hope you heal up.
Rest
well.
In peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Cam Akers. And
his ADP is gonna be great next year.
Yeah. Well, that's what we saw with, like, look at Joe Mixon this year. In my opinion, Joe Mixon should be a top 8 pick in the first round. He should be, in my opinion.
Well, even people.
Yeah, or Saquon. Saquon should – well, if news comes out that he is going to be healthy for all 17 games, Saquon should be in contention for the first overall pick.
So
Cam Akers drafted next year.
Yeah.
So moving back into our groups, let's talk about the Steelers wide receiver core because they're all going around the same range. I think Juju's going
– I think he's going
– I can't remember. So we have
– wow, we're really prepared for this, guys.
Yeah, it's a really professional podcast. So we have Schuster, we have Deontay Johnson, and we have Chase Claypool. I'm going to start with this one because I have really strong feelings about this. I am staying away from the wide receivers for the Steelers in this year's draft. Like, as far as I can help it, unless somebody drops really low, I don't like anybody out of this group. G. Harris coming in. But Ben Roethlisberger, people are saying that, like, this is the best shape he's ever been in. What's, like, better than what? Like, he looks like a potato. I mean, like, so what's best shape for Ben Roethlisberger? It's like a slightly skinnier potato. He still can't, like, he's going to stand in the box. They do not have great pass blockers. So he's just going to be, like, standing there like a big old towery potato trying to throw the ball to these receivers. That, by the way, none of them can catch the football. And, like, if you're taking anybody in this group, I like Deontay Johnson. I think in a PPR format, Deontay Johnson's going to get a lot of targets. Chase Claypool, you're more looking for, like, touchdown upside. But, like, at his draft position, like, I would be drafting Chase Claypool as like a wide receiver 4, and he's being drafted as wide receiver 3 right now. That just doesn't make sense to me. This is a guy you're going to plug. Like, if you draft him there, you've invested in him. You have to plug him in as your flex. I'm not counting on every single week him scoring 2 touchdowns.
I mean, best ball format, he would probably be an option. Oh, yeah. He'd be very good option to pick up. But I'm
But so, and then Juju, like, Juju's fine, but they were talking about doing more 2 tight end sets. And in that offense, if you're doing 2 tight end sets, that one of the tight ends is going to line up in the slot, which is where Juju plays. And so I don't really, like, I would bump Juju down quite a bit just from that news. But yeah, Deontay Johnson would probably be at the top of that list. But again, I don't really like any of the guys for this group. So Tyler, what do you think?
So I'm actually ranking Chase 1, Juju 2, and then I can't even say his name, Deontay.
Yeah.
Did I say it right? So yeah. I'm actually doing Chase because I've been looking him up quite a bit. And what I'm seeing is they're talking about his physical gifts are comparing to like DK Metcalf and Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely Calvin Johnson.
He's one of the most physical wide receivers in the NFL right now.
Yeah. I mean, they thought he'd move to a tight end. And he ran like a 4.440 or something like that. And they're like, okay, he could play receiver.
Yeah. And I just think it's going to have like his speed and size. I think it's just going to take some time. But I'm saying he's 1 because I saw like all 3 of these, I kind of see him near the same.
Yeah.
But like he had 109 targets and he's kind of like you were saying, like touchdown dependent chases. And they all had like same, like, I mean, he had a little bit more yardage than Juju. But Juju had the same amount. He had 9 touchdowns as well. So he's the same. He's like the touchdown dependent, but I love me some Juju. He's from USC. Got to rep my college that I didn't go to. and then Deontay. So with him, he's like, they're all the same touchdown dependent. He could get some more punt and kick return points. That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
I'd rate him like a B- for him. But I can't remember if it was 2019 or 2020, but he led the NFL in drops of short passes 5 yards or under.
Well, I think 2020 he led the NFL in drops, period. Yeah.
So then that's what it was. It was like 14 out of 16 or 16 out of 18. Like he just dropped the passes. So that's why I'm ranking him 3rd.
They all struggled in that area quite substantially.
Yeah. They all struggle. I mean, they're all near the same, but I'm still going to – I got to go with Chase because of his physical gifts. I think eventually that's going to help him. Yeah. And then Juju. Juju's always – he's always like that mid-tier kind of – I mean, sometimes he goes off, but he's always – they're all around the same, but I definitely got to rank Deontay last of all the receivers.
Yeah, and I should just clarify with what I said. Like, any of the receivers in this group, I don't like where they're being drafted. I like all three of those – I think they should be drafted probably around later. I like them as fringe wide receiver 4s that you might plug into your flex on any given week, but to invest wide receiver 3 value, you're basically saying this has to be my flex. I don't like any of them for that spot. Or like that's going to be what I don't feel comfortable having any of those 3 as my wide receiver 1 or 2 on a bye week either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I can go next. Kind of like Elijah, I think I rank Deontay Johnson at the top of this list, which is weird for me to say that because, like Tyler was saying, he had a lot of drops last year. I think he has the highest floor, though. He's been working a lot in the offseason trying to work on his catching abilities. All of these wide receivers are. So he's been working a lot on that. But he's going to get the most, the biggest target share, the most receptions. And obviously we're talking about PPR here. We mentioned that a couple times, and so PPR, you have to follow any type of league. You have to follow the volume and the receptions. When you're drafting a wide receiver around this range, this is probably 6th round, 7th round, right around there is where, these 3 are going. Because Deontay Johnson is expert top of these 3 at wide receiver 27. So this is about the 6th round range. I don't hate any of them there. I think they're pretty accurately ranked. I think they're very
very accurate where they should be is where they are. But the only problem with that is you want to look for value. You don't want to try to draft someone where they should be. You're always looking for value in your draft. That's how you outdraft everyone else. And so in all of my mock drafts, I've done dozens. I've only picked up Steelers wide receivers twice just because there's other options there that I think have more upside. Like, I don't hate where they're going. It's just, would you rather have Deontay Johnson or do you rather have, let's say, Courtland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy, or which in my opinion have a lot more upside?
People that are being drafted later, Jerry Jeudy.
That's what I mentioned.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry. I'd rather have Jarvis Landry than anyone, like any of those three. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, Brandon, he's going to command. Mm-hmm. He's going to catch. They're the only person. He's the only person they're going to throw
this year. But there's so many other options that can be picked around there that, in my opinion, have more upside that you're going to be hard-pressed to find a time to draft any of these three. Obviously, if all other options are taken and it's, well, I either get average draft value or I have to reach.
Yeah,
I would go Deontay Johnson in that case. I think he's going to have the safest floor. Chase Claypool, in my opinion, has the most upside, but it is touchdown dependent. And they got Najee Harris, so they're probably going to they got him in the first round. They got him for a reason. They're going to utilize him. And I just can't rationalize picking a wide receiver from this team when Big Ben is obviously towards the end of his career. Like, he might very well do better this year than he did last year. We don't know. Their line is improving a little bit. Still not phenomenal at all, but they're improving a little bit. They're not at the bottom like some of the other offensive lines out there. But it's hard to rationalize picking up one of these wide receivers when there's a lot of other options on this team. They don't have a top-tier quarterback. Their line isn't all that phenomenal. They're going to be a good team. I still think they're going to get more wins than they have losses. I mean, that's that team every year. Yeah. So, but it's hard to rationalize picking any of these guys when there's better options to pick, higher upside options, I should say.
Hunter, what do you think?
All right, so I'm more with Tyler on this one. I have Chase Claypool the highest, and I think this offense is still going to be a top 10 scoring offense. They're going to have to score in the division they're in with. Yeah. The Bengals are going to be able to score a ton of points. The Ravens are a great offense. If the Browns can stay healthy with that defense, they're going to score a ton of points on offense. So I think that they're going to still be scoring a ton of points. So they're going to be a top 10 offense. So the reason I want Chase Claypool is because he is the touchdown guy in that offense. Whether it comes to red zone, a deep target, I mean, he had two rushing touchdowns last year. I mean, when it gets down to that area, they're like, okay, we're giving Chase Claypool the ball, whether we're handing him the ball or we're throwing it up higher than anybody else in the world can jump.
Yeah.
So I think where Deontay Johnson is a fine receiver and he gets open, he creates separation. He's going to be the lead target guy like Seth was talking about, but he struggles with drops. He's not great in those short passes like Tyler was talking about. So when it gets to that red zone area, it's like, okay, we're going to Juju now or we're going to Claypool.
Yeah.
And if they're going two tight end sets, okay, we're not going to Juju. We're going to Claypool.
Yeah.
So it's me in a top scoring offense, I want the guy who's getting those touchdowns. He might, maybe it's risky. Like I like kind of like everybody has talked about. I'm not usually drafting one of these guys, but if I had to in the range that they're kind of going, like even if Claypool is my wide receiver three, I'm not required. I probably drafted another running back that I can play in my flex. Like he maybe sits on my bench until I feel like he has a good week or a good matchup or whatever. So I have to start him or whatever, but he has that upside to where he could get two touchdowns. Like Deontay Johnson isn't scoring two touchdowns
he's scoring two touchdowns all year.
Yeah. Unless he catches like a short pass somehow and breaks a tackle or he catches a deep pass. Like, that's the way he's scoring. But I think that Claypool is going to use his size this year, and he's going to be the red zone. He's going to be the red zone guy for that offense. So I would rather have him. And even though Najee Harris, is going to take some of that goal line work, the best first round picking him, they're going to use him. You can't, they're not going to give him the ball every time they get in the red zone. Like, if they do that, then they have no idea how to run offense.
Yeah.
They're going to get stuffed.
Yeah.
So they're going to eventually have to throw it up to Claypool or someone like that. So I think Claypool, even though it's touchdown dependency and that's scary, in that area where you're getting him. Like if he was your wide receiver too, okay, that's scary. Like, yeah. I don't want to have to deal with like he might get 1 point this week and then 30 points the next week. But as my wide receiver three, where it's like, okay, he's got a great matchup this week, I'm throwing him my flex. If you get 20 points in your flex, you're not losing.
Yeah.
Like, unless the rest of your team gets hurt and scores 1 point, you're not losing with that many points. So I think I would rather have him. And then I think then it's Deontay, because I think, like we've talked about, they're going to go two tight ends. So Deontay is going to be on the field more than Juju. It also scares me that for Juju to stay on this team, he took a huge pay cut and signed a 1 year, $4 million deal. I mean, he is a great receiver, great talent. Like, people thought he was going to fill the Antonio Brown role when he was.
No one can fill the Antonio Brown role.
Okay, he's not Antonio Brown, but he still had great
years. Yes.
So for him to only get $4 million, when someone like Will Fuller, who can't stay healthy, gets suspended, gets a 1 year, $10 million, he's getting less than half of what Will Fuller's getting. So I think that was like the only way he could stay
on his team. Yeah, he's like begging to be on the team at that
point. So they're not – like if they were planning on not having him this year, they're not going to invest in him in the offense. They're going to say, okay, you're gone after this year. Let's give Claypool and Johnson the ball and like keep building them because they're young.
Right.
And Juju will be gone next year. So Juju's like I don't want him.
Yeah.
He might do okay this year in fantasy, but I don't want him. Like, it's risky.
I think the Steelers should trade one of these wide receivers to a different team. They don't need – three wide receiver twos all on the same team. I think Juju, I'm not saying that they will, but I think he would thrive on a different team that needs more wide receivers. Like, I don't know, maybe the Lions, somebody says Texans. I mean,
so, and they, just to mention this real quick, they also invested, like, they need all this help, like, on the offensive line, and they lost, like, an edge rusher in Bud Dupree. And then their second round pick, they went tight end, Pat Freiermuth.
Patrick Freiermuth.
Yeah, so, like, they're clearly saying, like, we're lining up two tight ends. Like, Juju, you're not going to be in the slot this year. So, like, don't draft Juju.
Right.
Unless, like, for some reason he falls, like, two rounds. Then, like,
yeah, unless you can get him the 10th round.
Yeah.
Don't draft him.
So, we're kind of running short on time. So, we're going to rapid fire these last two groups because I think it'd be good for us to do a group of quarterbacks and then a group of tight ends because we've been running back and receiver. But we'll just speed things along real quick, which is funny because I feel like we're always speeding things along. Like, we're, oh, this podcast might only last half an hour. And then half an hour in, it's like, oh, okay, we've talked about one guy. So we're going to talk about quarterbacks. Tyler, you'll go first. The quarterbacks that are all going in the same range are Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, and Ryan Tannehill. What are your thoughts on those three guys?
So, guys, those are just, like, almost neck and neck to me. I think I'm slightly more on Joe Burrow, just because he's got that first-round new wide receiver from LSU, and they were teammates together. Yeah. So what was his name? Jamar. Yeah, so I think they were dynamic duo. So I'd probably rank him above. Then I'd probably go, Matthew Stafford. I mean, everybody loves him. The coaches love him. They're freaking just saying everything he does is right. He's learned the playbook really quick. He's so everybody loves him. I'd probably rank him second, and Ryan Tannehill. So I'd pick. It's hard to pick him third. I don't know. I could flip flop these ones. Maybe Matthew and Ryan, just because now doesn't he have Julio?
Yeah.
So he has Julio. I mean, I know they're gonna want to run it a lot with Derek having the ball, but they're also, I mean, that's gonna open up a lot of stuff, and then Julio's gonna be getting the ball a lot. So these three, I can flip flop them. But I'd probably say Ryan at the because also his average completion has only went up just a smidge, just a tiny bit. And I know it's going to go up a little bit more with Julio, but those three are hard. But I'd probably pick Joe Burrow as number one, though.
Nice. Seth? 2 minutes, go.
Fine. I know.
We have to make things so long.
I think I'd probably go Joe Burrow as long as he doesn't, you know, die again this year. I'd probably go Joe Burrow top overall just because he's going to be down games. He's going to need to pass to keep up. Has a lot of wide receivers. They obviously invest feed Joe Burrow. They probably should have gone an offensive lineman. They took Joe Burrow's input into account and like, all right, let's pick up Jamar Chase so he can stay in games better. Joe Burrow is going to get a crap ton of points. I think with the advent of Cam Akers' injury, I'm probably going to rank Matthew Stafford second because I'm not saying guarantee they're going to pass more now they don't, because we have no idea. If they go out and pick up another running back, maybe not. But without their lead rusher, they're probably going to throw in, like I said, three or four more passes a game, which it can add up over time. Matthew Stafford on a top-tier offense. Everyone, like, biggest odds is they're going to be a top-tier offense, so he's going to score really well. And then I have Ryan Tannehill third. Even with him getting Julio Jones, which I think will help him a lot, they're still a run-first team. They still have Derrick Henry. And while Ryan Tannehill does have a little bit of rush potential and will pick up the odd rushing touchdown, not necessarily going to have huge upside. He was a top 10 quarterback last year, but I think he's probably going to be more top 12 this year just because the Titans are going to play to their strengths. So I'd have it Joe Burrow, the Matthew Stafford, than Ryan Tannehill. But that being said, I think Ryan Tannehill might be the safest of the three options. So, Hunter?
Yeah, I have Joe Burrow last, Matthew Stafford, or Ryan Tannehill next, and then Matthew Stafford as the top. Wow. I think Matthew Stafford is going to have a phenomenal year. I mean, he's like my dark horse MVP candidate this year.
Yeah.
Like he, especially now, like Henderson, the fine running back, like you're talking about, but they're going to have to pass the ball to win. Even though they have a good defense, no matter who they bring in, they're going to have to pass the ball to win. Tannehill with Julio, I mean, yes, they're a run first team, but if you look at those, the teams in those divisions, they've set up to stop Henry.
Yes.
Like they've all set up their defenses because they know they have to stop Derrick Henry. Now you have to stop Julio and AJ Brown. So like one of them's going to be wide open. So I think Ryan Tannehill is going to have a better year passing. And then Joe Burrow, even though they added Ja'Marr Chase, that line's still not great. I think, yeah, they're going to have to pass the ball more, but I think, like, to win actual games, like, not fantasy, to win actual NFL games, which is what they're trying to do, they're going to have to try and run the ball more and play good defense and, like, control the pace of the game and not throw the rock all over the place like they did last year. So I think he takes a little step down in the pass attempts, and then you're hoping, like, the touchdowns come. So I just think he was my breakout candidate at the quarterback position, so I think he's going to have a fine year, but I just like the other guys a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I am on board with Hunter. I have Matthew Stafford first overall. Kind of basically comes
first
down.
First out of these three. Pick him first overall. Don't even pick him first quarterback overall.
And, like, it comes down to, you look at Joe Burrow, you look at the receivers that he has, you can argue that the Rams' receiving core is just as good, or if not better, than the Bengals' receiving core. And Matthew Stafford is a proven quarterback. He's on a better offense. They have a way better defense. So that translates to more touchdowns, I believe, for Matthew Stafford, especially because now they, at least at this time, they don't have somebody that can punch the ball into the end zone from the running back position. So I have Stafford at first on this list. Tannehill, like Seth said, like it's been said, he's the safest bet out of all those quarterbacks. Like if you're drafting – and this is for the range for your first quarterback that you want to take. Take Ryan Tannehill and maybe take a chance on a different quarterback like Jalen Hurts or something like that, or like Zach Wilson later on in the draft. So I like Ryan Tannehill. Joe Burrow probably has the most upside out of all these players. He's like Blake Bortles in 2015 or whatever year it was that Blake Bortles just went off and made it to the Pro Bowl. Joe Burrow, there's nothing in the way of Joe Burrow throwing 60 times a game. I think they just want to be able to not have the ball in his hands as much because we saw what happened with that last year. Like, you're going to get sacked. You're going to get hurt, especially if he's running the ball, which I don't think he's going to do as much this year. Yeah. So maybe Joe Burrow has the most upside, but I think he has the lowest floor out of them too. So Stafford, Tannehill, Burrow. So last group, we're going to do tight ends. All three of these tight ends are kind of in the same range. We have Logan Thomas, Hunter Henry, and Tyler Higbee. Seth, you want to go first?
Out of these three, I have Tyler Higbee ranked first. Like I said, amazing things from the Rams offense, and I think Matthew Stafford is going to do phenomenal. So Tyler Higbee is definitely top in my opinion. Then probably Hunter Henry. I'm flip-flopping between Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, who's going to be the top option on the New England Patriots, but I think they're both going to be viable. Hunter Henry is an amazing talent, and there's many passing options on that team. So Tyler Higbee, then Hunter Henry, then Logan Thomas. I kind of talked about this in our video, our boom and bust video, but I think Logan Thomas is going to be a bust compared to where he was last year just because their offense is going to be a lot more efficient, and they have other options to pass to. So that's how I'm going to rank it. Tyler Higbee, then Hunter Henry, then Logan Thomas.
Tyler, not Tyler Higbee, but our Tyler. What do you think?
I have Tyler Higbee number one. Then I have Logan Thomas and then Hunter Henry. So I like Tyler because I've read, too, that Matthew loves big tight end targets as their receivers.
Yeah.
So, and he seems to be the number one tight end target for the Rams. So targets, they're 50% less, I guess, from last year. But now that he has Stafford, I think he's going to bump up. So then I go to Logan. I literally just flipped it as Seth was talking about it. But I think because they got Fitzmagic right now, he's going to want to throw some deep. They have Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to want to go to Terry a lot, but I think that's going to open Logan up a lot more. So eventually they're going to try to shut down Terry, and then Logan's going to be open more. Hunter, I mean, oh gosh, the Patriots, I mean, it only really worked when Gronk was there. That's what I believe. And having two pretty good tight ends. I mean, I have been reading that he's catching everything thrown in the camps. So they're pretty high on him. But I just know in the Patriots, I think it only really worked with Gronk. So I'm going to have to rank him number three. So Tyler first, Logan second, and then Hunter third.
Okay. Hunter, not Hunter Henry, but our Hunter. What do you think?
First, I think it was kind of close between Tyler Higbee and Logan Thomas, but I think the guy who's going to see the most pass uptick because of Cam Akers going to be gone is the tight end.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Higbee, they're running similar routes, so I think Higbee gets some of those passes that would have gone Akers' way. And then I have Logan Thomas. I still think he, even though they have all those weapons, I still think he has a pretty good year. I still think Ryan Fitzpatrick throws him the ball, and they used him last year as a quarterback. They're going to find ways to get him the ball. I think he has fine year. And then part of the reason that I think Hunter Henry is the most talented out of all of these three guys, just on skill. And I know it's follow the money, but it scares me so much that they were they brought in two. Which money do you follow?
Yeah.
Nelson Aguilar got paid for the salary cap dropping, they paid him quite a bit of money. So that scares me as well. I think if Mac Jones is a starter, Hunter Henry, maybe I move him above Logan Thomas because I think Mac Jones is going to rely more on the tight ends. But I think Jonnu Smith is he's an athletic freak.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
I'm surprised the Titans got rid of him.
The Titans have handed him the ball. You can use him all type of ways. So I think they just vulture each other. So it just scares me. I don't want either of them this year.
Yeah. So I'm in a different boat. I have Hunter Henry first overall in this group of tight ends. And we've talked about Jonnu Smith and how good of a player he is. He's not even doing anything with the team right now because he's just nursing injury. So everything that Jonnu Smith could potentially be doing, Hunter Henry is setting himself in front. And then we also look at, because you had mentioned, Tyler, how it worked with, when Gronk was on the team. Well, Gronk and Aaron Hernandez were two of the best tight ends in the NFL, and they both produced amazing numbers on that team. I think that's kind of what Belichick is wanting to go back to. Plus, you also add in, we have Cam Newton under center. He's kind of on the downtick of his career. But Cam Newton and Greg Olsen were electric in the league for 5 years. And so Cam Newton will want to target a stellar tight end. Aguilar is a good receiver, but that's all he is just a good receiver. Other than that, who do they have to throw to? Nobody. So even if both tight ends are on the field, I don't think that necessarily takes away from either one of them.
I think that's why they grabbed both tight ends, because they don't have much. They went out, paid a lot for Nelson Aguilar, so they have a top option to target, but then they went out and got two tight ends so that they don't have to get more wide receivers. Yeah. They can run the two tight end sets, which worked for them in the past. So
yeah. And then I have Tyler Higbee second. I really like Tyler Higbee this year. I think that's just kind of the consensus through the fantasy football community, is that Tyler Higbee is going to have a good year. And then I have Logan Thomas third. It's not by much. I just think that they brought in Curtis Samuel, and Logan Thomas was kind of a surprise guy for them last year. But Curtis Samuel is going to soak up a lot of those short passes, and like J.D. McKissic is still there. Antonio Gibson is still there. So at best, Logan Thomas to me is like the split fourth option on that team, maybe the fifth option on that team. So like it's going to be hard for him to reach like 60 targets this year, whereas Higbee and Henry, I think, can both reach that. So we had another group that we wanted to talk about, another group of receivers that were all going in the same range, but we're running out of time. We only do these podcasts for an hour because that's how long we can do.
Hour max.
Yeah, hour max on the app. Thing. Does anybody have anything that they want to say before we close out?
Stay smart in your drafts.
Yeah, don't draft Cam Akers.
I mean, okay. Yeah, very last round, there's potentially might come back at the end.
No matter what, don't draft. Draft a second kicker. Over Cam
Akers. Also, can't wait for draft day.
Oh, yeah. Gonna be fun.
Guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We're going to try to get you another podcast out this week as well, so stay tuned for that. You can follow us on Twitter at F2Geeks and send us direct messages there, or just at us in a comment if there's something that you would like to hear from us, a different take, something that you'd like us to go over. Let us know. That's Twitter at F2Geeks. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Have a good one.
See ya.
Yeah. Peace.